God. That's Psalms 147, verse 7. All right, service times are 10:30 this morning, 3:30 this afternoon, and 6:30 on Wednesdays. On Sunday, or Saturday, 10:30 was our soul winning time, and today at 1 p.m. Ryan, just a concern, did you have any? One? Amen. All right, so that brings our salvations up to 6 for November for a total of 90 for the year so far. So, amen. Attention down below. Upcoming events. A couple announcements with soul winning, just for the next few times. If you have any flyers left from today or in your car, your pockets, your coats, your kids' toy boxes, you know, we know they all get around. But if we can just bring them together, if you have them today, if you can give them to me or Ryan, we're just running really low. On the 2nd of December, we'll get some more. So if you could just collect them all, I know if you have any extra. And also, when we get the new flyers, we're going to go to a system to where we're going to give it out to with the maps each time. So we just kind of maintain them a little better, because when I send out groups for 40, you know, each group will have about 40 houses if we do two teams. If I send four people out, how many do you need?
Ten.
That's a little less than about the 250 you guys take each week. So I'm just playing with you. But hey, I do it too, because here's the thing is, I'll have some, they'll be in the back of my trunk, and you know what happens after a couple weeks to a month back there? They're no longer fit to give out to people. I know that happens. I've done it. Unfortunately, I've wasted that. So we're just going to go to where we count per map, bundle it up, just so you all have your supplies. And, hey, if you need a few in your car, because, hey, you're out there giving it to the coffee, you know, ladies you order from, or however, friends and family, that's great. We're just trying to have a little bit more control so we don't run out as much. So just move forward if you can until, you know, another week, if we can just manage the ones we have, because those that have been here long enough, remember, you are very thankful to hand something out when you're talking to people at Stranger. We have gone out with no handouts. And let me tell you, that icebreaker is a blessing. So it's a good system we have, all right? But beyond on that, hey, had the first choir practice today. They look great. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. You guys stay tuned for the more practices in the show. On November 25th, so coming up real close, because, hey, it's only on Tuesday. All right, that's going to be the midweek service. Go ahead and bring a dish if you like. Just bring it before service. So I guess we'll try to come a little bit before. If that's okay. That way, you know, if we have a little bit of food social, just because probably a lot of you are having a midweek little break or you're traveling, just really great to send people off for a thankful week of celebration. On November 30th, so next Sunday, is the men's preaching night. We'll have multiple men preaching, and we'll also have a pie social. So, hey, bring your sermons and bring your pie, and let's have another fun night just to finish out this festive week we're having. Then, moving right into December, December 13th will be the ladies' Christmas party. That will be at the Thompson's house. Please RSVP, let Kylie know, and I'm sure she'll put together another lovely activity for you all. So just let her know you're coming, and I'm sure there'll be a blessing. December 20th. Will be the Christmas or the church Christmas party. It'll be at 4 p.m. at the church. So, be games, food, and the second annual Christmas Olympics. So, was fun last year. I'm sure it'll be a blessing this year. So, hope to see you all there. And then December 21st will be our Christmas Sunday. So, invite friends, bring them out, because hey, some people are just Christmas and Easter only. Well, let's bring them in at least Christmas. All right. So, something to look forward to. We've got a full festive, you know, holiday season even here at church. So looking forward to that. Kids, your memory verse is John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus say unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And as you know, if you repeat that to Miss Kylie, you will receive a piece of candy. All right. Birthdays have all come up. Talked about that. Rules are all the same. Tithing is below. If you have any prayer requests, please just let the Thompsons know and they will get it into the bulletin. All right, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today.
Next song will be song number 467, the B-I-B-L-E. For you kiddos, since your voices are all warmed up from the choir practice, I would hope. Oh, and speaking about the Olympics, so I'm going to make a Bible trivia for that, so you better be reading the Bible. So, which at the one? Very least, yeah, which one? song number 467, the B-I-B-L-E. All right, let's sing it together on the first. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible! Very great singing. Let's do one more time. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible! Amen. Good singing, Brother Paul. Could you bless the offering for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that we have. And Lord, let us remember in the Bible to save, to serve you. And one of that is not steal from you, it's your tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you could take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and as always, our custom here at our church is to read the entire chapter before the preaching. John chapter 13, the Bible reads, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Brother Paul, could you pray for the preaching?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here to hear this message, hear your word preached, sing songs to you. Lord, may we have ears to hear and to learn how to love one another today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, so we're here in John chapter number 13. If you want to look down there, verse number 34, it says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And this evening, I just wanted to preach a sermon about having love, you know, for one another, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. According to the Bible, this is something that is very important because Jesus even says, hey, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples, is when you have love one for another, right? And, you know, obviously we're like 1 week away from Thanksgiving, or less than weeks away from Thanksgiving. And then, you know, after that, it's the Christmas season. Although, in my opinion, it's the Christmas season right now. Okay, the Christmas season does start before Thanksgiving. Okay, and I like Christmas. I love the whole thing, and I like it when all the Christmas stuff comes out early and ticks off all the people that don't like Christmas for some reason. I like it when that happens. That's a good thing. So I like the Christmas season. But you know, one of the great parts about the Christmas season is that it emphasizes, you know, love one for another, because, you know, we're giving gifts, you know, and we know as saved Christians that gifts are not something that are earned. It's just freely given out of the love of our hearts, right? And, you know, the Christmas season, it illustrates love so greatly because, you know, what is it that motivated Jesus to come and become a man and be born of a virgin? What was it? It was love for mankind. Amen. It was his great love for mankind. And so, you know, I just think this is a great message for this time of year, for this kind of Christmas season, is having love one toward another. And, you know, this is the Bible is just filled with verses about, you know, having love one toward another. And if we look at John, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter number 2. I'm going to read for you John 15, verse number 12. It says, This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And of course, we know that this is the greatest act of love that has ever been committed, was when Jesus Christ laid down his life, literally died for us. He laid down his life for his friends, for the whole world. Amen. And so, you know, this is the greatest act of love that has ever been done. Because Jesus Christ didn't just do it for one person or just a small group of people. No, he did it for actually every single person that's ever been born. Amen. And ever will be born, for that matter. And so that was the greatest single act of love ever performed. But, you know, there has been people throughout history who have laid down their lives for their fellow man, right? And that is a great act of love. And that is the greatest act of love that we as just normal human beings, you know, I believe are capable of. You know, obviously we're incapable of laying down our lives for the world like Jesus Christ did. But we, in fact, are capable of laying down our lives for our friends. Amen. And so, you know, hopefully this is not something that any of us have to, you know, prove. You know, hopefully we don't have to lay down our lives to, like, save our friends. You know, that would be a tragedy. We would not want something like that to happen. But, you know, that would be the greatest act of love that we could do. It's unfortunate, though, you can only do that one time, right? It's only a one-time thing you can do. And so, you know, that's the greatest act of love that we can do. Hopefully we don't have to do that, though. Hopefully nobody has to demonstrate their love in that manner, because obviously we don't want anybody to die, right? Amen? Can I get an amen there? But, you know, there's lesser acts of love that you can repeat multiple times, right? And so those are the acts of love that we want to concentrate on, you know. And if you do have to do the ultimate act of love, you know, praise God if you can do that, but hopefully you don't have to. But again, we want to concentrate on what we can do multiple times throughout our lives, right? And here in Philippians 2:2, it says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And really, to kind of just boil these verses down into one statement, it's just putting others first, right? This is a great way that we can show, you know, love one to another. You know, verse number four, let every man look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, right? So what is that? That's just putting others first, right? And so that is going to be to the exclusion of doing things through strife and vainglories, right? So, I mean, if I'm doing something just for vainglory, well, then what is motivating me? Is it love that's motivating me to do that at that point? No, what's motivating is just to have, you know, the admiration and everybody think I'm just a great guy. You know, if I were to, like, hey, you know, I'm going to give so-and-so $1,000. Hey, everybody, see this $1,000 that I worked hard all week for? I'm just going to give it away because I'm just so awesome and I'm so loving and I'm so kind, right? What would that be? That would be doing something through vainglory, right? If I'm just like, you know how Jesus talks about, hey, don't blow a trumpet when you give alms, you know? That would be doing something in vainglory, right? You know, I blow a trumpet, like, here, I'm going to give $1,000 to so-and-so because I'm just so loving and I'm just so kind. You know, that really does take away from the lovingness of that act. It really just kind of makes it a vain act, right? And so, you know, but, and also, you know, doing things, you know, through strife, you know, just seeking out to, like, cause friction when we're trying to get stuff done for God, you know, that's not obviously being loving towards your brothers and sisters in Christ when we're causing strife, you know. And so we always want to be able to pass over any transgressions and different wrongs that people do towards us. Why? Because that's going to be showing love towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ when we can just you know, let the strife go, when we can just pass over and not be angry at somebody, or, you know, not be annoyed with somebody and just be like, okay, well, you know, that situation, they did this or they did that, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm just going to pass over it. Why? Because I don't want to do things through strife. I don't want to cause strife where there doesn't need to be strife, right? Why? Because I want to show love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, this verse here, these verses here, they kind of emphasize, you know, having unity. And we should be united in our goal of the Great Commission, right? And so this should be a uniting force to cause us to go, okay, well, these small differences that we may have, I'm able to just put them aside, right? Because we want to be of, you know, we want to be of one accord. Now, it's a good thing that nobody, you know, it says one accord, right? So it's a good thing we don't have multiple Honda Accords in the parking lot up there, because that would be a bad thing, apparently, according to the Bible, right? And so I don't think we have any Accords, though. We might need to fix that. So we got to have at least one. It's, you know. But anyways, okay, go ahead and turn to 2 John chapter. I'm going to say this is 1 John chapter number 5, because I don't think there's a 2 John chapter number 5. And now I'm questioning whether or not this other one is 2 John. But I don't know. I think it might be 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read it for you. If it's not 1 John chapter number 1, it's 2 John chapter number 1. But it's verse number 5. But you're turning to 1 John chapter number 5. I'm going to read for you this other unknown verse. It says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." So according to these verses here, you know, what is love? According to these verses, love is when we walk after his commandments, right? What is that? We're obeying the commandments of God, right? In order to have love, true love in our lives, we need to be obeying the commandments of God. And, you know, somebody would say like, well, what if we don't know the commandments? How is anybody expressing any love in the world if they don't know the Bible and they don't know the commandments of God? Well, here's the thing, is that the Bible says that God has written the commandments on our hearts, basically. And everybody has a conscience, right? So truly every, you know, we were talking about psychology earlier today. You know, this doesn't actually apply to everyone, because some people have a seared conscience, according to the Bible. But everyone that has a conscience and has the laws of God written on their hearts, they truly do have the ability to express love, because they have the ability to follow the commandments, right? Now, obviously, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and so not everybody's loving all the time. But what am I trying to say with that? It's just that everybody on planet Earth, unless they have a seared conscience, is capable of some amount of love. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, but us as Christians, we should be the most loving group. Why? Because we're actually the ones that really want to follow every single one of God's commandments. We want to open up the Bible and figure out the whole counsel of God, and try to follow all the commandments of God. Amen. And so, and according to the Bible, that is what love is. And so somebody that's not saved, or somebody that doesn't understand or know the Bible, they're going to be incapable of having a complete love, right? Because they're not going to be able to keep all the commandments. Because why? Because they don't know them all. And so if they don't know all the commandments, then they're not going to be able to have a complete love. However, you know, caveat, everyone is capable of some amount of love, unless they're a psychopath, unless they're, unless they're the Green River Killer, then they have their conscience seared, and, you know, they have no ability to keep any of the commandments of God. So, you know, but we're not worried about those people. I'm just thinking about that because of the lady that we talked about soul winning today, that was asking all about the Green River Killer and Jeffrey Dahmer, and, well, what if they believe, and, you know, and pedophiles can stop liking children, and I don't know. All right, well, anyways. We were reading Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and all kinds of stuff. All right. But you're in 1 John 5. Look at verse number 2. It says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And this is kind of a theme in the Bible where, you know, true love is when we are keeping the commandments of the Lord. And it says in 1 John 4:20, it says, "If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." So notice, you know, once again, that the command is that we love our brethren, right? We have a command from God. And so, you know, the command, notice this is kind of a circle here, that love is the commandments of God. Amen? But then one of the commandments of God is to love one another. So it's just like a big love circle going on here. You know, you're commanded to love, right? All right. Nobody else? All right. I thought that was kind of funny, but no. It's a rough crowd, all right? We had a great sermon this morning, and so it's really hard to follow up on Remy's sermons. I don't know if anybody appreciates the difficulty level of having to follow up on Remy's sermons. You know, he's making it kind of hard. You know, sometimes I wish, I'm like, all right, maybe if he would just bomb a couple, you know, then I could look good. But then I remember, no, I'm supposed to love Brother Remy and hope he does great every single time, because I'm putting him before myself. Amen. So, you know, so that's just a great application for having love for your brethren, right? Is not wishing that they would bomb a sermon, because that would just be wrong, right? All right, so go ahead and turn to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. We're going to look at verse number 8. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law." And, you know, we're going to get into some specifics here that the Bible gives. It says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And of course, these verses go right along with those verses that we read earlier about, you know, keeping the commandments is love, and, you know, love is the fulfilling of the law. But, you know, the Bible just kind of lifts off some specific things here that, like, if you're doing these things, you're not having love one toward another. You know, first one being, you know, thou shalt not kill. Because, like, if you, you know, and this should be pretty obvious. I think we all probably understand this concept pretty well, right? If you kill somebody, especially if this was like a brother in Christ, if you killed them, could you really say that you love that person? No, you know. Not really a very deep concept, not too hard to get, right? It says, thou shalt not steal, right? So, you know, if you went to, and this applies to, you know, you shouldn't steal from anybody. But let's just say, you know, if there was a brother in Christ that owned a convenience store, they owned a 7-Eleven, and you just bust in there and steal a Slurpee or whatever, it's not really having love toward your fellow brother in Christ or your fellow sister in Christ. But by the way, you shouldn't do that to anybody, right? Because according to the Bible, you know, it's thou shalt not steal, ever. And the Bible also talks, you know, we're talking about having love towards the brethren right now. But the Bible also emphasizes having a love for the lost, right? And so just any random guy with a convenience store, you know, stealing from that individual, that's not having love towards that individual. That's the opposite of that. That's causing harm towards that individual. And so obviously that's not something that you should be doing to anybody, right? We should never be, you know, stealing. Why? Because, hey, look, love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. And if we steal, you know, and there's different ways to steal. I mean, you know, for one, you could break into 7-Eleven and, you know, take a Slurpee. Everyone would say that that's stealing. But, you know, there's other ways that you could steal from somebody. Like if you made a deal with somebody, like, hey, you know, if you repair my deck, I'm going to give you $1,000, and then you give them $750. You know, that would be a form of theft. Okay, so there's various different ways that people could steal, but if we were to engage in that, obviously that's not showing love towards our fellow man. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, this, of course, you know, this is something that we've all have done at one point in our lives, right? Because I don't think, not necessarily, hopefully nobody in here has killed anybody, right? And hopefully nobody steals. But bearing false witness, you know, that is something that we've all done before. I mean, this is one of the great examples that we use out soul winning. You know, I personally always use it, right? Like, I ask them, like, have you ever lied before? And they say, I'm like, yeah, you know, I've lied too, right? And so this is one of the examples that we use to show that everybody is a sinner. We show that, hey, look, everybody has lied before. And what is lying? Well, bearing false witness would be lying, right? And, you know, and bearing false witness, I guess, you know, that has kind of a more formal connotation or sound to it. You know, like you're in a courtroom or whatever, and you lie about what happened, and then they pull up what happened on the security camera, and they're like, hey, you bore false witness, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I haven't spent that much time in a courtroom, so maybe I'll leave that for Brother Paul to... I don't know if he spent much time in a courtroom either, but, you know, he works for people that do or something. I don't know. But, you know, we have this, you know, this idea of what goes on in the courtroom, right? You know, where like, hey, we have to have this testimony. We have to have this witness. And then somebody will lie about that and then end up causing great harm to somebody because then, you know, based off this lie, they end up going to prison for 20 years or something like that. I mean, that would be like, the worst form of lying would be like lying in a courtroom and then like somebody at, you know, like the children of Belial back in the book of Kings, where Jezebel gets children of Belial to bear false witness against Nabal because what's his face wanted his vineyard. He gets these children of Belial to bear false witness and Nabal gets killed. You know, the false witnesses are like, we saw him blaspheme God. And they're like, all right, well, there's two witnesses, put them to death, right? And so, you know, that form of false witness, that's got to be the worst form because it ends up in the death of an innocent man, right? And of course, you know, there's all different various types of lying. But, you know, we shouldn't engage in any of this type of lying. You know, obviously, you know, don't lie in the courtroom. I think there's, I don't know if it's true, but I think there's probably like, I think that would be a crime. To lie in the courtroom. Like, if you lie under oath, I think that would be a crime. So, you know, definitely don't do that, because then you're going to go to jail. And we don't want anybody to go to jail in here. But, you know, just, you know, that's not the type of lies that you and I are generally dealing with. Amen? There's, oftentimes in our lives, there is a, how do I say it? A, something that makes you want to lie. What's the word I'm looking for here? Something that causes something to happen. It's a... No, not an impulse. Not a lust. Motivation. I don't think that was the word I was looking for, but that's a good word. I like that word. We're going with that word. There's a motivation to lie, right? Why? Because you feel... You know, sometimes in your life you feel like, okay, well, if I tell the truth, this bad thing is going to happen, right? Everybody's had that before, right? Yeah. I mean, you've probably had that happen this year. You probably had that happen like this month or week or whatever, right? And, you know, we don't need to get up here and confess all of our sins and every single time we've lied, but we've all had that situation where we feel like if I tell the truth, I'm going to be in trouble. Or if I tell the truth, I'm going to be embarrassed. Or if I tell the truth, this thing that I don't want to happen might happen. Yep. Everybody's had that situation before. Yep. And look, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all caved to the pressure at one point or another, haven't we? Everybody's done that. Oh, except for me. I've never done that. I'm telling the truth. Am I telling the truth? No. I'd be lying if I said that. Amen? And so, you know, we've all caved that pressure at one point or another in our lives, right, to lie. But the Bible is teaching against that. Why? Well, I mean, according to the Bible, you know, that's not having love for your neighbor, right? Why? Because that's not fulfilling the law. God, you know, and if we, you know, think about, you know, lying, if there's like, you know, and this happened to me relatively recently. You know, there was a piece of equipment at a business that I was working on, and there was parts in the equipment that were not wired up correctly, and it had caused a large amount of damage to the piece of equipment. And I was under the impression that we did not do that, because the person that had put those parts in didn't tell me. And they said they hadn't worked on the equipment before. But then I had to find out later, through different various means, that we had put those in, our company had put those in, and it was our fault that the damage was done to the equipment. And it would have been far better for me to have known that, because then I could have just told the customer, we are replacing all these parts free of charge. Because it was our fault. But because I didn't know that until later, I was telling them, this is what happened. These are all the parts that are going to have to be replaced. You know, and they were very angry because they knew the truth. They knew what was going on. But I looked like an idiot because I didn't. Right? And so the fact that, you know, somebody lied to me about what happened and what they did, I looked like an idiot, you know, and trying to pull them over, you know, pull the wool over their eyes. When I was not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I was trying to do what was right. I thought maybe another company had done it. And, you know, if another company did it, then that's not our fault. And so you guys are going to have to pay. But then I found out later, oh, no. You know, so, you know, lying causes problems. Okay. And so, you know, that's just kind of an example that happened to me recently where I was, you know, I was not very happy with, you know, the gentleman that did that, yeah. You know, and, but, you know, it is what it is, you know, people lie and, you know, we've all lied before. So we need to be able, we want to have love again, you know, sermon is about love, right? So I have, you know, love for the gentleman. I didn't like come down on him and be like, oh, you're a liar, and you're like, you son of a bitch, you know, I didn't do that, you know, I just let it go, right? But, you know, we can understand that, you know, lying to try to protect ourselves can cause problems, right? And the truth has a way of being found out, right? And so a lot of times we get this idea that we can protect ourselves from the consequences of our actions by just sweeping it under the rug, not telling the whole truth, and, you know, not saying what happened, you know, or basically just lying, right? We think we can protect ourselves, but then if we do that, we cause even more damage. And then, you know, because, like, if this gentleman would have just told the truth, you know, I would have been like, okay, well, this is what you did wrong. You know, I can see why you did that, but this was the wrong thing. Unfortunately, this was just an expensive mistake. But, you know, because he lied and didn't say he put the parts in, then a lot of respect has been lost, right? So that caused even more damage than if he would have just told the truth. Right. So because at the end of the day, you know, the truth comes out and we have to pay for it anyways. So I don't know. That example just came to my mind about the damage that lying can have. And so, you know, we should avoid it. We should just go ahead and tell the truth. And you know what the Bible says is the truth will make you free. Right. So and it's what God wants. Right. And that should be enough motivation for us to say, hey, I'm going to do it all the time. Now, you know, again, this is something that we've all done. And you know what? We're probably all going to, we have a long life left, right? Most of us have decades to live. We're probably going to do it again, right? If I were to sit up here and tell you, I will never lie for the next 40 years of my life, do you think I'd be really telling the truth? Probably not, right? And so, you know, unless I die tomorrow, which I hope doesn't happen, you know, and if I do, it's because of the, you know, laying down my life for my friends or whatever. But unless I die tomorrow, you know, or if I die shortly, you know, I'm probably going to end up lying at some point in my life, right? And same with everybody else in this room. But, you know, we need to ask God for forgiveness and forsake it and move on with our lives, right? And, but, you know, when that temptation comes, though, to try to lie to protect ourselves or for, you know, whatever the whatever the motivation is, that word, good word, motivation, whatever that motivation is, you know, we need to think like, okay, well, if I have love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, if I have love towards my fellow man, I'm not going to lie. And I'm just going to fulfill the commandments of the Lord. I'm going to, you know, fulfill the law and have love one for another by keeping God's commandments. The next thing here, you know, it says, thou shalt not covet, right? Now, so if you're just, you know, coveting, you know, all the wonderful things that your neighbor has, you know, that really kind of detracts from the love that you have for your neighbor, right? Because it's kind of a perverse jealousy that you have. It's like, well, how come he has a, you know, how come Brother Paul has a nice Jeep and I just have a, you know, crappy Dodge or whatever? You know, that kind of detracts from my love towards, you know, theoretically, my theoretical love towards Brother Paul, which definitely doesn't exist. I'm just kidding. I love you, Brother Paul, because the Bible tells me to. But you know, having a covetous attitude, you know, you could see how that kind of detracts from your love towards your fellow man, right? Because instead of focusing on, you know, the individual, you're just thinking about like, well, he has all this stuff, you know, or, you know, he has this, you know, this better job that I wish that I could have, or he has this better house that I wish I could have, you know. And, you know, that's not a good road to go down. And because, look, you know, everybody in our lives, there's always going to be somebody that just has it better than you, right? But the thing about it is that you're not in that person's shoes. You know, maybe it looks like they have it better than you, but in reality, you wouldn't want to trade places with them. You know, and I think about, like, my life. I wouldn't want to trade places with anybody. Like, I like my life. It's a great life. God has blessed me greatly. And I don't want to trade places with anybody. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're like, oh, the billionaires. It's like, yeah, but would you really want to trade places with, I mean, like, I don't know, probably the best example would be Bill Gates. Because, like, who really wants to be Bill Gates? You know, I think I've used that, you know, that example probably multiple times, probably too many times. All right, we got to switch billionaire examples, okay? Do you really want to be Jeff Bezos? No hair? All right, we got to move on. We're going down a bad path here. You know, I'm scared of bears, so I'm moving on. All right. Yeah, I don't want to be torn by a she-bear, you know. Although Jeff Bezos is not a prophet of God, so I'm good. I think I'm good, though. I think I'm good. But if I go down the path a little bit further, then the she-bears are a problem. Okay. Let's see here. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, this is, you know, they call this the golden rule. You know, treat others as you would have others treat you, right? You know, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, you know, obviously, there's a certain way that each of us would like to be treated, right? You know, when you're coming to the door and you got like a whole bunch of stuff in your hands and you don't have a hand, you know, you would love it if somebody held the door open for you. Of course, you know, this is kind of a silly example. And so, you know, you should hold the door open for other people, right? When they're coming to the door. You know, whether or not they have bags full of stuff or whatever, whether or not they have the hands, you know, you like it when other people hold the door for you. And so, you know, the concept here is we hold the door for other people, right? And of course, you know, that's kind of a silly example. But, you know, this is all something we can easily understand, is that there's a certain way that we all would like to be treated. And so if we expect other people to treat us in that way, we are required then to treat others in that same way, right? And, you know, and here's an example of this. If you don't like practical jokes to be played on you, you probably shouldn't be playing practical jokes on other people, okay? And this is just kind of a weird thing that, like, some people are just this way for some reason. I don't understand why. Like, I'm not like a big practical joke guy. I'll do it, like, if somebody, like, I've done it before and I'll do it or whatever, but, like, I'm not, like, you know, my life goal isn't to go out and do practical jokes on people, you know what I mean? But, like, some people, they like to do practical jokes, but if anybody does a practical joke on them, they're like, why'd you do that? You can't do that to me. I'm so mad. Like, right? And, you know, for whatever reason, I don't understand this, because, like, people have done practical jokes on me, and, like, I don't know. I don't really care that much. It's not a big deal. I mean, as long as people laugh, whatever. It's fine. Yeah, I don't mind, you know? But, you know, if I do a practical joke on somebody that's done a bunch of practical jokes on me, the expectation is that they're going to enjoy it. They're going to laugh. They're going to have a good time with it, right? But, you know, there's, you know, some people are not that way for some reason. And, so, again, the concept here is that if you would not want somebody to do a practical joke to you, then you shouldn't be doing practical jokes to other people. All right. That's, and again, this is just, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, you know, and, you know, that's just kind of an example that just kind of popped into my mind. That is a great example, is that, you know, we just should treat others the way that we want to be treated. Right. And so, you know, don't do practical jokes on people if you hate practical jokes. So it's a pretty simple one, I think. But go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter number 27. And, you know, at the end of Romans chapter number 13 there, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And, you know, one of the ways that we actually show love towards our fellow man and show love towards, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ is to tell the truth, right? You see, the goal of love is not just to make everybody around you feel good and make everybody around you like you and make everybody around you want to hang out with you more. That's not necessarily always love. Now, sometimes that can be love, amen? You know, making other people feel good. You know, if somebody feels down about themselves, you give, you know, give them some encouraging words, make them feel good. That is a form of love, right? But, you know, love is also fulfilling the law. You know, and again, you know, one of the things about the law is that, you know, it's the truth is important to God. And so telling the truth is something that's important to God, okay? Now, look here in Proverbs 27. Look at verse number 5. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Okay, so telling people hard truths is loving. Okay, and so, you know, letting people just fly off of a cliff, right, and not warning them about the cliff, that's not a loving thing to do. Right. You know, so that's why, you know, that's why the government, our government is loving. Right. Why do I say that? Well, because they are kind enough out of the lovingness of their hearts to put up guardrails where there's like cliffs. Right. Like if there's a cliff, there's generally going to be a guardrail, you know, on the road. Yeah. Why is that? So if the goal is to prevent people from flying off the cliff. Right. And so, you know, there's various different ways that people can fly off the cliff, you know, with their lives. And so, you know, not warning people about the cliffs that are out there is something that I don't believe is a loving thing to do. You know, and of course, you know, there's all kinds of different, you know, wild ways that people can destroy their lives. And, you know, but it's when somebody, you know, whether or not it's a brother or sister in Christ, or whether or not it's like a family member or just somebody you know, you know, it's a good idea to warn them about whatever it is that is going to cause them to fly off the cliff in their lives, right? And so, you know, just letting your brothers and sisters in Christ make a massive mistake without saying anything about it is not necessarily a loving thing to do, okay? Now, you know, and this especially applies if they don't know. And, you know, a great example of this is somebody committing fornication. Like if somebody is like a young man or a young woman or whatever, you know, they're like about to commit fornication. Like somehow you just kind of know they're going to commit fornication soon. But they have no idea. And look, this is very common. Like people in this world, a lot of people, especially in America, have no clue that fornication is a big deal, right? They don't think it's a sin. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just natural, you know. Belly for meat, meat for the belly, or how does it go? I can't remember. But, you know, they have no clue, right? But if they're warned about it, maybe they will avert course and not end up destroying their life, you know, by committing the sin of fornication. Or at least negatively harming their lives. Right, you know, having their life start going down a bad path where they're going to have consequences for that. Amen. And so, you know, if somebody knows what they're doing, you know, like that's a little bit of a different story. If somebody already knows, right? Like, for example, like if somebody they've been going to a fundamental Baptist or, you know, a new independent fundamental Baptist church for years, and then they decide to take a job and fly out to, you know, the middle of nowhere where there's no good church or whatever, you know, that person, in my mind, that person should already know. Because, I mean, there's always preaching in our kinds of churches about, hey, you need to go to a good church, and church is a big priority, and going to the best church in your area is a priority, and you shouldn't take a job, right, in the middle of nowhere where you're moving your family away from church and not going to church anymore to, you know, it's, you know, somebody in that situation, you know, it's kind of their own fault at that point. Because they, if they've been going to church for years and years and years, they've heard that kind of preaching, they already know, right? But there's a lot of people in this world that just don't know. Why? Because they don't go to a great church, they don't read their Bibles, they have no clue. You know, and when there's that example of fornication where they just don't know, right? And so, but, you know, even in the case, though, where people do know, you know, maybe they just need somebody to remind them. Like, hey, this is a big deal. Like, you shouldn't just do this, right? Maybe another example of that would be somebody that's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and do some hard drugs. Like, I'm going to try out methamphetamine. Or I'm going to try out, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's not like people just have no idea that drugs are bad, right? They just never heard of that. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like people know about DARE, and, you know, they know that it's, like, looked down upon and that there's consequences for doing these hard drugs or whatever. But it might be beneficial for somebody to just kind of be shaken, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you tried what? You know, like if you heard somebody you knew, you know, just kind of tried cocaine, you know, although I don't know, like I've never had this situation where somebody I knew was just trying coke. But, you know, this stuff happens, though. Just not to me, apparently, but but this kind of stuff happens, right? Where people, they're starting to go down a road. You know, they start with weed or whatever, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, weed was kind of cool, so let's try the next. You know, I don't know what the ladder is for, you know, the escalation of drugs or whatever, because I know like weed is like the light drug or whatever. It's the gateway drug. It's, you know, not that bad or whatever. But then it's just like, okay, well, there's weed, but then there's cocaine, heroin, and meth. It's like, well, is there like in between? Is there like a Goldilocks drug? Does anybody know? Because it's like, whatever floats your boat? That's not a drug, Paul. That's not helping me. So if somebody's going down the path, like they're getting on a lot of weed, and then their buddy is, they're hanging out with all the drug dealers or whatever, You know, it might be a good idea to tell them the truth, like, hey, like, what are you doing? Stay away from that stuff. You know, otherwise you're going to end up like a homeless dude on the side of the road sniffing, you know, you might end up like Joe Biden's son sniffing lasagna off the floor. You know, you don't want to end up like him, right? And that should be a great motivator for anybody to get off of hard drugs is, hey, you don't want to be like Joe Biden's son. That, you don't want to end up like that. That's a horrible thing, right? But anyways. So, you know, it's, again, the point is that, you know, it's loving to tell people the truth, right? And it's not loving to just be like, oh, you're fine, you know, you can just make that decision and, you know, just kind of follow your heart, whatever makes you feel good. You know, that's not a loving, it's not a loving thing to tell anybody. You know, it's just go ahead and follow your heart. You know, and we learned last week that, hey, guess what? The heart is desperately wicked. And I wish I could quote the rest of the verse here. What is it? The heart is... Does anybody... Above all things desperately wicked. But what comes before that, though? The heart is deceitful and... You know, I'm trying to like read lips here, and it's not working. And I'm moving on. You can look up that verse on your own. You all have phones. It's, yeah, all right. We're going to go to Leviticus 19, verse number 17. And it kind of goes along with the same vein of, you know, telling the truth is a loving thing to do. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin to be upon him. So if somebody is in some type of a gross sin, right, the loving thing to do is to rebuke them and be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, according to the Bible, this is a gross sin. Because otherwise, if you're just like, oh, it's fine, you know, if your coworker, you know, if you have like a company meeting or something and they're like, hey, we're going to try to do Sober October, everybody. And then one of your coworkers is like, hey, I'm on a different program called Bender Till December. I'm not participating in Sober October because I'm on Bender Till December. You know, that person, that's a great candidate for you to be like, hey, I'm going to rebuke my brother and not suffer sin to be upon him. Yeah. Like, hey, you know what? You know what? You should read the Bible. You should read Proverbs 23, where the Bible says, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Right? I mean, that's a loving thing to do. Right? Because is Bender till December, is that benefiting people in their lives? I mean, other than just all like the all different health issues or whatever, I mean, like so psoriasis of the liver or whatnot, you know, they're destroying their sleep. They're not getting proper sleep. They're destroying their liver. They're probably getting behind the wheel, and you know, there's all kinds of, you know, negative things. But on top of that, you know, God doesn't like it, and God hates it, and so it's like, you know, warning that person is the loving thing to do. Not just be like, oh man, that's, you know, just enjoy your Bender till December, buddy. You know, but when did you start that? Oh, January? Oh, wow, you know. And, you know, that's not the loving thing to do, right? The loving thing to do is to tell them the truth, right? That's the loving thing to do. And so, you know, part of loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, and, just, you know, just part of loving the lost, too, is telling the truth. Amen. And so, you know, loving one another. How do we do that? Well, you know, we put others first, right? And, you know, we try to fulfill God's commandments. And we tell the truth, right? We tell people the truth. You know, a little bit of tough love, as it were, right? And so that's how we love one another. And so that's something that, you know, instead of having a cup of beer this Christmas season, we have a cup of cheer instead. You know, have a cup of cheer. You know, have a holly jolly Christmas, and we're going to love one another, okay? All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the great love that you had for us, where you had the greatest act of love ever in history, that you gave your life for every single one of us. And help us to love one another and to have great love for our brothers and sisters of Christ as well, that we can show that we are your children, Lord. In dear Jesus' name, amen.
Good sermon, Brother Jason. Last Sunday song, number 441. Great is thy faithfulness. Song number 441, Great is thy faithfulness. That room has a delay sometimes, so I get scared. Like, I'm like listening, I'm like, okay, does it sound like he's wrapping up right now? Okay, so. Song number 441, Great is thy faithfulness. Good. Song 441, let's sing it together on the first. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joineth all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. On the last, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Good seeing Brother Ryan. Could you close the word of prayer?
Mm-hmm.